It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying, there is no running, there is no hiding, there's only fighting or dying. It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying, there is no running, there is no hiding, there's only fighting or dying.
It's Going Down is a digital community center from anarchist, anti-fascist, autonomous, anti-capitalist, and anti-colonial movements. Our mission is to provide an autonomous and resilient platform to publicize and promote revolutionary theory and action.
Go to itsgoingdown.org for daily updates, patreon.com/IGDnews for how to help us grow, and rate and follow us on iTunes if you like this podcast. Okay, so today we're going to do an audio report back from Austin, Texas. There was a demonstration there against Act for America, which is one of the, well, it is the largest anti-Muslim groups in the country with well-known links to white supremacists, the alt-right, and white nationalists. We're joined here today with Kit O'Connell. Kit is a writer. You might have seen some of his stuff either on his blog or on It's Going Down. And Kit, do you just want to take us back to maybe May Day just to kind of give us some context of exactly what happened?
Sure. And I mean, honestly, the context can probably go back even further. To March. There was the National March for Trump here in Austin. And there was a very small counter protest against it. The March for Trump was meant to be a national day of action to show for Trump supporters to show their love for the POTUS. And of course, it really came out, you know, most Trump supporters stayed home because they've already won, in my opinion. That's why they stayed home. And instead, of course, we had the usual assortment of extremists that we're seeing at all these events, whether they're called, you know, free speech rallies, or what we saw on Saturday from Act for America was meant to be a march against Sharia. This was a march for Trump. But of course, it brought out, you know, Oath Keepers, neo-Nazis, nationalists, and of course, the sort of dangerous 4chan Pepe trolls. I actually was assaulted at that event and then put under arrest after being assaulted by a Trump supporter. And I'm still facing a Class C misdemeanor charge over that assault. So I was assaulted by a Trump supporter and then slapped in handcuffs and taken to the hospital. So it was quite a day for me. And, you know, we've really seen emboldened white supremacist, nationalist, and very focused anti-communist act, you know, action in Texas over the last 6 months or so. And March for Trump was one of the first places where they really were pretty much unopposed and really emboldened by what happened that day, I think. What happened on May Day specifically was that there was a full day of actions planned by a whole variety of leftist groups ranging in tactics. The most well-publicized thing, of course, was a sit-in at the governor's office, which was against the really barbaric Show Us Your Papers bill that they're passing here called Bill SB4. And that was attended by a variety of people. There were some Antifa there. There were some people who were fairly mainstream liberals. You know, there was a city council member participating in that sit-in. But elsewhere that afternoon, a coalition of far-left groups led by local communists and Maoists especially, but supported by some anarchists and radicals of all stripes, were planning to have a red block or black block march through downtown, something similar to what we've seen for many years in places like Portland on May Day. And small events have happened on May Day in Austin for the last couple years, you know, ranging in size to 100 people to a couple dozen. And this time what happened that was very different was that as word spread of this action online, a coalition formed that represented some of the really well-known 4chan Nazis here, the Oath Keepers, the White Lives Matter organization or movement, and just sort of general far-right nationalists decided that they were going to come into town essentially to crush this communist march. And so there was unfortunately, the meeting point for it turned out to be a vulnerable meeting point. It's at the, you know, an intersection where there's usually a lot of bus traffic and pedestrians and stuff. But right now it's kind of shut down by construction. So essentially it was almost walled in. And as the block was forming, they were first sort of distracted by this individual who claimed to be a journalist, but was clearly kind of a wannabe InfoWars type person. And as he sort of distracted them, this white supremacist, this fascist coalition, surrounded the May Day march from two sides. And they were heavily armed, carrying assault rifles, and basically prevented the May Day march from being able to move. There were a number of physical assaults against, Antifa and block marchers. They essentially were able to shut down this leftist protest, through violence and the threat of, you know, a firefight. The police were there, but of course, you know, threatened people on our side while looking the other way when, the members of this fascist coalition attacked. It was definitely a really disturbing moment for Austin, on the left, you know, obviously for the groups involved, but just for everybody in leftist Austin who was, you know, and throughout Texas, to be honest. What we're seeing, of course, is that a lot of some of the worst and the regular provocateurs and fascist, and Nazis are kind of traveling around the state. So if there's an event in Dallas, they'll go there. If there's a big event in Houston, they'll kind of all mobilize there. And May Day represented kind of probably the biggest and most unified mobilization of that group to date, up to that point. Although what we saw in Houston this weekend was probably a bigger, mobilization, of course.
And can you talk about some of the formations that were in that mix? Because I feel like we're going to talk about them in a second here.
Yeah. You know, there was, of course, you know, the White Lives Matter group, which is, you know, a white supremacist movement that has proven to be really strong in Texas. There was an event where they did like an open carry demonstration at the NAACP in Houston. And that's one of their more famous, infamous, I guess I should say, problems that they've caused. You know, so that's a really growing, white supremacist movement, which of course sees itself as in opposition to the Black Lives Matter movement, but really is destroying a whole wide array of Nazis. Southern Poverty Law Center has a good write-up on them. Although of course I sometimes have issues with their take on things. Another group that was involved was called Open Carry Texas. And a lot of listeners have probably heard of them, even if they don't know the name. They were the group that was getting national publicity for going into restaurants and places like Target or Walmart while open carrying. Of course, it's legal in Texas to open carry rifles and now actually handguns as well after this past legislative session. They were known primarily for pushing that issue and also getting into pretty threatening confrontations, primarily online with some of the gun rights groups. But so they've kind of banded together now with this coalition of white supremacists. And then we also saw this generalized grouping of, you know, what I sometimes call the Pepe set. It's kind of 4chan trolls. And, you know, I call them trolls, but I don't want people to think that their behavior is limited to online only. These are people that are definitely coming out into the world at this point. They're fairly organized. They have, you know, growing fascist affinity groups, for lack of a better word for them, that come out on the regular to Texas events. One of the ringleaders is this guy named William Fears. And he is he on May Day was openly doing the Sieg Heil and standing in the middle of the street yelling about being a Nazi and daring people to shut him down. And of course they couldn't because, you know, we were so outnumbered. And his kind of low point, what he's the most known for among Texas activist circles, is he actually brandished a knife at the Houston airport when Indivisible and all those other groups were protesting the immigration ban. I don't think he ever faced any serious charges for it or anything, but he drew a knife on people in Houston. And since then, people have been kind of keeping track of his behavior. And where he goes, a whole slew of very proud fascists, Nazis, and white supremacists show up. Some of them identify as members of the LGBT for Trump set, which I find very strange. I feel like they need to study their history a little better and realize how Nazis treat queer people once they take power. But that's kind of beside the point, that there is this weird crossover where we're seeing gay men in particular. There's at least a handful in Texas who are regularly showing up with white supremacists and Nazi groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to mention the some of the laws that Trump has pushed forward that attack, queer people in general. Okay. Well, what happened on the 10th? The event on their side did not take place. So what exactly happened that day?
Sure. So it was a national march for Sharia organized by ACT. And in the introduction, you said that they were the largest Islamophobic, organization in the country. And that is true in some ways. They have a chapter pretty much in every state, but it's important to recognize that in a lot of states, those chapters could just be one person. So in some ways, they're like the most distributed Islamophobic organization. As far as the largest, that's a hard one to really answer. It's not necessarily inaccurate, but it definitely comes with caveats that they're huge, but their power is not necessarily what they like to think it is. And they organized this march against Sharia, which, I think it probably goes without saying for your listeners, but, needless to say, the threat of religious law in the United States is not coming from the Muslims, but from the right. Right now in Texas, we have Christians legislating all kinds of things, including whether queer people can adopt and what young trans people do with their genitals at school, where they pee and where they're allowed to be. And all kinds of things about, undocumented immigrants. And it's all, based around religious law. But it's not Muslim religious law. It's Christian religious law. And, of course, the march against Sharia was just a march against Muslims. It was an excuse to be, racist in public against Muslim people and immigrants in general. And while they claim, and it's also, I think, part of this tactic that we're seeing on the far right, where they're trying to kind of claim territory in traditionally left politics. In the same way that we often see them talking about free speech right now, which of course has traditionally been a liberal issue. Now we're seeing, them claim this free speech, in a very, it's theirs. We're also seeing, with this march against Sharia, they were trying to pitch it both as a feminist issue, because of how they claim, Muslim women are mistreated around the world, and also an issue of LGBT rights, because, of course, they like to claim that, for example, ISIS beheads gay people. And, it's very clear that what this really is about the same old nationalist white supremacist agenda. And for all their talk of being feminist and opposed to racism and just upset about Sharia, they're perfectly happy to have white nationalists and Nazis come out and support them. And so what we saw in Austin and a lot of parts of the country, but specifically in Austin on Saturday, was a really large and diverse group come out to oppose them. They were outnumbered at times like 25 to about 300. Their numbers probably grew to about 50 at the peak, but they were always outnumbered. And we used primarily noise to shout them down and prevent them from moving with just our bodies and the amount of noise that we were able to make. They had planned to meet at the gates of the Texas Capitol, which the Texas Capitol grounds are huge. And so a lot of organizations on all sides of all issues will meet at the very front gates, which is at a busy intersection through downtown Austin. And our plan was to outnumber them and never let them have their speakers or have their marches. And we succeeded in that. They were basically trapped in their place. The only reason that they were even able to hold the steps of the Capitol for a few, for the hours that they were, was because of intense police protection. And anytime they tried to speak or chant, and most of the time when they tried to give media interviews, they were immediately drowned out. We passed the hat around in our activist groups, and we shared out bandanas if people wanted to cover their faces, which, had the potential of both sort of bringing people into a more radical form of action than they might be used to. And it also provided protection for some of the Antifa and the blocked up groups, who had been targeted by these fascists, because they were able to better blend in with the crowd. And the crowd was then encouraged to use these shared tactics with them. And of course, we also distributed whistles. We bought these cheap whistles, the kind that come on a wristband, you know, that somebody might carry to prevent an assault or something. And we bought, you can get them very inexpensively online. We bought eight or maybe 10 dozen of those whistles and about 10 dozen bandanas, and just handed them out to the crowd. And so we sort of kind of instantly converted the crowd into a civilian block and a noise demonstration. And for the most part, we held the ground. We made more noise throughout the day. They had to cancel their speakers. And at the end of the day, they pretty much slunk off with their tail between their legs. There was a large group of well-known fascists that marched in at one point. There was a woman wearing a white sheet and a Make America Great Again hat. There was one that was in a 1488 helmet, which of course is the, you know, the Nazi 14 words, and holding a Blue Lives Matter, a thin blue line flag. And this whole crew marched in at one point, joined this Act for America protest, were happily brought into the fold by this little Islamophobic group. We're quite happy to stand with literal Nazis. But at the end of the day, that group basically had to sneak off. They asked for a police escort to be taken into the state capitol building so they could use the bathroom, but then they never came back to the protest. And pretty soon after that, the numbers of the Islamophobes started dwindling very rapidly as they snuck off two by two, to try to get to their cars. And, we were very quickly able to reclaim the capitol steps, and then spontaneously marched through the streets, taking a route that they were planning to take, but were prevented from taking. The main violence of the day came from, of course, the Texas State Troopers. There were Austin police there throughout the day, but partway through, the Austin police, we noticed, were kind of pulled back, and they brought in these heavily armored Texas State Troopers. They first brought this armor out for a protest against White Lives Matter in November last year. And they just, you know, pigs seem, they're really excited about their toys. And so they love these shiny shields that they have. And when those guys first came out, it actually got pretty rough for a minute. But there were Antifa there with shield helmets, and they protected other people from the state troopers, with their shields and sticks and so on. Now, that did unfortunately thin out the crowds when that happened on our side. There were understandably some people who'd come with families that no longer felt safe when the police started being violent. But despite our numbers thinning out, we were still able to be louder and to dominate the space and prevent them from claiming it. So it really felt like a win for Austin. And I think nationwide, it sounds like it pretty much was too. ACT was really not able to act. We're in general not able to march in most places, and certainly not in Austin. And it really felt like a way for the left to reclaim some space here. And beyond that, it also represented just like weeks of working together among groups that I would not expect even to work together. There was initially a local chapter of Pantsuit Nation that was planning to hold their own silent counter protest on the Texas Capitol. What ended up happening is they ended up aligning with a group called the Muslim Resistance. And when we approached the Muslim Resistance and said, you know, please don't split our numbers, we're worried about you guys being alone on another part of the Capitol grounds where you can't be with the safety of the bigger protest, why don't you come into our protest? You know, to our surprise, this very liberal group, Pantsuit Nation, on like the last day before the protest said, we're endorsing the Texans Against Islamophobia Confrontational Counter Protest. You know, please attend if you feel safe doing so. And there was another group, this Muslim Solidarity Austin, also organized an event which took place separately at the governor's mansion. It was a fairly, you know, mainstream support your Muslim neighbors type event. But they, in the end, respected our diversity of tactics, and a number of them came and joined our event after their press conference ended. They had the mayor speak about how Muslims are welcome here, and they took together a lot of donations for our homeless shelter, you know, which on the whole is, of course, a good thing, and gave people who didn't feel safe at the confrontational event a place to go where they could still show their support. It represented not just a victory against the fascists, but it showed that like anarchists, communists, Maoists, socialists, liberals of all different stripes, you know, Muslims of all different political orientations, members of the queer community, we could all come together and say no to this fascist bloc, these fascists, and you know, send them running from Austin.
And can you really quick, well, however long you want, do you want to talk about what happened in Houston? Because, I mean, that's just almost like icing on the cake.
It is bizarre and interesting and a whole lot. And I think, you know, it definitely helped us that day. I think, you know, we would have come out and resisted no matter what, but we might have faced stiffer numbers, larger numbers from the fascists if it hadn't been for this Houston event pulling them all in. From what we've all been able to piece together on, and this is even kind of coming out on the right now too, there's a fake Antifa page, Texas Antifa. They announced a protest against Sam Houston, and the Sam Houston memorial statue in Houston, mm-hmm. saying that he was a gross slave owner, I think was their phrasing, which is, you know, true, but not how any of us would write it. And of course, immediately in response, this group called This is Texas started fundraising and organizing a huge fascist rally to support Sam Houston in the sort of spirit of the defense of statues that we've seen in Louisiana and so on. The difference being that while I think, you know, Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all the other leftist varieties, you know, we recognize Sam's troubled history for us, you know, the city is named after him. You know, you and I are going to be dead, I believe, before any progress were to be made on that issue. And no one realistically believed that Sam Houston's statue was going to come down in 2017, or even that it was a good issue to mobilize around here. So despite the fact that there was never actual organized leftist resistance, what we instead saw was this massive grouping coming together, hundreds and hundreds of far right groups of all kinds came together to defend Sam Houston from nothing. And they flew in based Stickman, the far right hero guy. They, you know, did all this fundraising. And of course, now there's questions about who was pocketing that money, because it looks very much like one, you know, like Texas Antifa orchestrated this and then worked with the This is Texas group to generate maximum publicity and a maximum turnout.
Exactly.
And maybe maximum money for some conservatives.
Well, let me just jump
sure.
in. Excuse me. There's an article on the website, Texan Partisan. It's very right wing. And what it's
I think it's actually Texian
okay.
Partisan.
There you go. It? Thank you for correcting.
The old school, the very old pronunciation, right?
Right.
The pre-Alamo.
Well, what it writes, it's very upset about this fake event, and they say they say that before the event took place, they actually got a message from people on the quote unquote Texas Antifa page, which is run by trolls, saying that it was fake. And they told them, this website, that they only did it to create a honeypot to collect information about anti-fascists. And they go on to write, Brandon Burkhart is one of the administrators of the This is Texas Facebook page, which was set up to coordinate the counter-protest against Antifa. Additionally, someone using the name Brandon Hewitt is also listed as organizing the GoFundMe for the counter-protest, which has raised $4,000. Burkhart also has an extensive criminal record. Then they also claim that basically by going through different social media accounts, that they believe that these are the people that set up the Texas Antifa Facebook and also are connected to Open Carry Texas. So they're calling for like criminal, this website is calling for like criminal charges to be filed for fraud. And they're basically saying like these people created this fake account, created fake threats, and then profited off of people organizing a counter demonstration. And they're pretty fucking livid. It's pretty hilarious.
It is hilarious. And it's good news, because what we're seeing is that though this very organized, you know, far-right coalition has in one hand seemingly been growing, on the other hand, they can't keep it together. Mm-hmm. They're full of scammers. And even at this event on Saturday, I just keep getting reports of how much they were fighting amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. William Fears, who I mentioned earlier, was out there doing his whole Sieg Heil, I Love Pepe routine. And instead of being well received there, he was choked by a Latino oath keeper and dragged out. And that video is now going viral.
Right. Yeah.
There's another video that you can find of them fighting amongst themselves about whether or not they're allowed to display the Confederate flag.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, of course, this is all really good news, because it shows that like when they come together, they can't actually agree on a lot of key points, and that hopefully this coalition, you know, is actually very shaky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll lose its power.
There's another article that's just up on the Daily Beast. And I think it's also funny that, people aren't really giving IGD its due, because we broke the story, really. You know, we got it out there, and then I think the local Houston paper kind of picked up on it the day afterwards. But but one thing that's interesting, this is a quote from the Daily Beast. They're talking about one of the militia people that were out there, and they said, quote, "We were told Black Panthers were mobilized from Atlanta, and we were told buses and buses of antis were on their way. Never saw them," Dave wrote. "Oh, yeah, I saw a black guy with an AR-15 dressed in black near the restrooms and thought, yes, I found them. Then he stood up and I saw a Texas flag tail in his pocket." Yeah, and there's also another video of somebody that writes for the Daily Stormer, older person with a beard, sunglasses, and he's with a bunch of people from American Vanguard. And it seems like they're in front of the rally because they're like pushed away. I think that they might have included that guy that got choked out and was kicked out, but they were basically in the front of it or somewhere on the side, and they were talking shit about everybody. They're like, these are civic nationalists, fuck them, they're cucks and all this shit. And it was just funny to see them, you know, without that kind of enemy to unite them, you know, they just turned on themselves in a heartbeat, and they really had no idea what the fuck they were doing. And it's going to be interesting to see, how this all plays out, like this fallout, because they're already falling out over themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've heard the 4chan, of course, on their poll board, their politics politically incorrect board, they're furious about William Fears being kicked out and feeling like their particular brand of nationalism is suddenly not welcome. So, you know, and then, yeah, we've got the fighting among the Oath Keepers and you know, these other groups and Open Carry, and are they tied to this scam now? And it's probably going to make their reputation be tarnished. And, you know, I contrast that with, you know, I'm seeing coordination and organization and intelligence sharing among the left in Texas that I haven't seen since I started being, you know, very active here during Occupy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not that we're all going to agree all the time. That is definitely not going to happen. And let me tell you, it took a lot of headache to get all those groups to work together on Saturday, but we were able to pull it off. And I believe that we can build from that. And also sort of, I think there needs to be, unfortunately, there's been so much misinformation about Antifa and anarchism and just radical politics on the left right now. And we cannot, obviously we can't, you know, expect to always dominate the media or to control the message about who we are. There's always going to be misinformation about us. But I think right now it's really important to reach out to people and do a lot of cultural building and bridge building wherever we can, obviously without compromising our principles. But if there are ways to reach people on the left, I think it's really important, you know. But here in Texas, there's an indivisible group here that's using tactics like wheat pasting, you know. And so I'm not saying that they're going to be the revolutionaries of tomorrow, but I think it shows that there are these little, just like there's cracks on the right that are breaking up their coalition, I think that there's some cracks on the left that are actually pushing people to the left that we can use to teach people to be more radical and to push and to try to, you know, demand revolutionary change and not just incremental change.
Yeah, totally. Well, thanks so much for joining us today and giving us that report back and analysis of what's going on. Anything else you want to say?
You know, check out my my educational collective. We're called Oh Shit, What Now? And that's our domain online, ohshitwhatnow.org. We're doing a lot of classes. If you're in Austin, we'd love to have listeners come to our classes. And if you're in other places, get in touch. We'd love to, you know, help you start teaching some classes and share what skills we can about getting this going. I think Skillshare is like one of the most valuable things we can do right now.
All right. Well, thanks a lot and glad to hear.
Thanks so much.
Some good news for once.
Yeah, it's great to be on. I'd love to come back. Thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks a lot.